Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. Just as we were singing that song, and that song is full of that individual expression, isn't it? Break my heart for what breaks yours. I was trying to sing it, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And you remember we had that period of time where we were trying to sing songs that really just had that we, that gathered, that people of God together rejoicing and praising and responding to what the words of the song were trying to say. Let's just try not to lose that so many of the songs still have I so centrally. And of course there's something important about what happens in us individually, but there's something wonderful and something God-given about what happens to all of us together. And it really is part of what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Can we just have the first slide up, David? Just the intro slide. Thank you. Well, it is good to be with you and share something of God's word this morning. And you may have been noticing that it's been a few weeks since I've spoken in a morning service. And you might think he's just taking time off and having an easy time. But I promise you that's not the case. But the reason for it is that Ash has been very kind in giving me a little break. Because Helen and I are in the process of moving house. You know, that third most stressful event in your life. We've decided to venture into it. Now, journey began in October. We found a house in Mobley and we secured a buyer to our house and all was going to plan for us to move in mid-January. Then a little over 2 weeks ago and quite unexpectedly our buyer pulled out and we were left high and dry with the house fully packed away in boxes, furniture dismantled and nowhere to go. Disappointed is a little too tame a word to describe how we're feeling right now. We're likely to have lost the house that we'd expected to be moving to, which just seemed to fit our needs so well, and we're back at the beginning of the journey. Our house on the market, searching for another one for ourselves. We all experience disappointments at times in our lives that we have to live with. And when such things happen, friends might say to you lovely things like, there'll be a reason for it, there's something better around the corner, it will all work out all right in the end. And of course, those things are said out of kindness to bring comfort and assurance, and to some extent they do. But the truth, said in love, is that we simply don't know why. And nothing else that we can say can actually change the fact. We must face the reality of the situation, work through our disappointment before God, reflecting on what's happened, and put our hope in Him again for the future. Through any experience of disappointment, it is possible that one day we might look back and see that God had a different plan for us and that something had to change for that to come about, but at the time, it's unlikely that we will know what that is. The message this morning continues in our series On Retreat, a time to regain perspective, to reflect and be refreshed. And we're going to be focusing on one verse found in the letter to the church in Ephesus. It's Ephesians 4, verse 15, which says this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. This verse contains a short summary of what Paul is saying to the church in this chapter of his letter. He's writing from prison and doing what he can in his writing to bring encouragement and further teaching. He is describing what is necessary for them to grow in their faith and to live a life worthy of their calling to follow Jesus. And he's saying this to them as a body of believers. This is not just about their individual lives, but about their lives together in community. A message that is as relevant to us today as it was then, if not more so. We need to be awake to the fact that the individualism that our culture promotes is at odds with the way that we are to live in Christ. I'm going to say that again. We need to be awake to the fact every day that the individualism that our culture promotes is at odds with the way we are to live in Christ? Do you think that? Can you see that? Can we be alert to that fact every day and operate differently? We're brought together by Jesus, our Saviour, to grow in faith together, to learn from one another, to support and love one another, to use the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of all, and as we do that, to be a people who bring light and life to those around us, bearing witness to God's love. That is for all people. His love is for all people. And it should be so, they're so evident that that love dwells within us together. Paul earnestly wants the church in Ephesus to grow in faith, to become mature, not to stay as infants in faith, but to grow up. He reminds them of what that should look like in their character: humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. And he says these words earlier in the same chapter about how their relationship with one another should be. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You've heard it already in Ashley's prayer this morning. In other words, work hard together to deal with differences between you, as surely they will arise. Doing so with godly character of humility, gentleness, patience, and working for unity and peace. It's the opposite of allowing our egos to take over, to be self-centered and self-important. We are to work for peace and for unity in the church with the help of the Spirit of Christ who dwells in each one of us. And living by these Spirit-filled qualities of humility, gentleness, and patience, and working for unity and peace, should mark our relationships with one another. We need to be willing to do so for one another, for the whole community. We may need to discipline ourselves, particularly over our own areas of weakness. Which of these characteristics do I need to work on the most, that we might live together well? Paul also reminds them of the truth of the gospel that they have come to believe, the truth. It's a Pauline creed. So we read in verses 4 and 5, we read this: there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All that I've just been speaking about precedes the statement that Paul makes about speaking the truth in love. He wanted the Christians in Ephesus to grasp the essential truths of their faith, and this is what they are, and how they should behave towards one another, to grasp the truth and to relate well to one another. And it's really important for us to do the same. We too are united by these truths. One commentator puts it like this: Christians must maintain the unity of the Spirit because everything they hold of significance, they hold with other people. Everything they hold of significance, they hold with others. And our lives should reflect the same godly character if we are to live in unity and grow in faith to maturity. And whenever we rebel against this by going our own way, may we quickly recognize it and repent of it and come back together, united, seeking the forgiveness of one another, restoring unity. What happens when we don't speak the truth? It used to be so simple. Not speaking the truth was a lie. The opposite of the truth, intended to deceive and to mislead. It couldn't be clearer. It still is the opposite of the truth, but it seems that we have become more sophisticated. or so we think, in the way that we mislead. Your mind is going to immediately switch to something here. I need hardly to mention that. There are gatherings that have taken place in a rather important house in a certain street in London during lockdown restrictions. Truth concealed behind the definition of what constitutes a work event and a party. And if the wording of those definitions would miraculously justify wrongdoing. Here's another example, and I'm sure that many of you will remember this. The phrase economical with the truth. An old phrase, but made famous in 1986 during the Spycatcher trial when Robert Armstrong, the UK Cabinet Secretary, was questioned by the then barrister Malcolm Turnbull. You may well have heard this before. I think we have used this before. But it's really worth repeating because it makes the point so well. This is what happens in their exchange. So the question begins by the barrister. So that letter contains a lie, does it not? And the cabinet secretary replies, it contains a misleading impression in that respect. Which you knew to be misleading at the time you made it. Cabinet minister replies, of course. So it contains a lie. It's a misleading impression. It does not contain a lie, I don't think. What is the difference between a misleading impression and a lie? You're as good as English as I am. I'm just trying to understand. Well, a lie is a straight untruth. What is a misleading impression? A sort of bent untruth? And finally, the cabinet minister says, as one person said, it's perhaps being economical with the truth. We can think that we're being very clever in our language, holding things back, adding in detail that really isn't relevant, misleading people to imply that it is. The truth becomes distorted, even hidden in our deception. And we are all vulnerable to it. The theologian J.I. Packer said this rather impressive quote, I think, a half-truth masquerading as the whole truth becomes a complete untruth. Let that one sink in. A half-truth masquerading as the whole truth becomes a complete untruth. Let's come back to our key verse. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So there are three things being said here, aren't there? The truth is important. We've just seen it. An example of it. And you can think of many others. The truth must be spoken with love. We'll talk about that more in a moment. And thirdly, together we will grow into maturity. Together we will grow into maturity. Speaking the truth in love. Truth and love are both qualities of Christ-likeness. God is truth and God is love. And again, you've heard these verses this morning and we didn't collude, we didn't share notes. Paul tells us that love rejoices with the truth. And he describes the qualities of Christ-like love in that famous passage from 1 Corinthians 13. Patience, kindness, love doesn't envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, love never fails. And then that line that just cuts across all of our falseness. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, however eloquent I am, however I speak, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Our maturing in Christ comes through a change in us that results in us being able to hold truth and love together in whatever we say and do. speaking truth without love, has no regard for the person spoken to, no empathy or understanding, shows no care for the other, is of doubtful motive, and has the potential to harm and cause distrust. You may have experienced that yourself. You may have been on the receiving end. And if you have, I'm very sorry. But just connect with how it felt. How did it feel to be spoken to like that? You see, there is a big difference between bringing a godly challenge to someone, spoken in love, speaking truth into their lives because of your love for them and concern for them, and speaking truth without regard for the person, proclamation without consideration. It's hurtful and damaging. And the truth, well, the truth will be lost. There is an integral relationship between love and truth that we must work to achieve in the way that we speak to others. In his second letter, the Apostle John makes this important connection between the two. He tells them, as we've heard, Paul remind them, as Jesus tells them, that we should love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love. You've got the two things, the commands, the way of God, the way of Jesus, and love. And we walk in love, in obedience to truth. The two are absolutely interrelated to one another. John is saying that we must love one another and that we should put the truth into practice by the way that we live. It isn't one or the other. It isn't one without the other. It's both. And finally, let's come back to this consequence. The third point is that we will grow. Together, we will grow into maturity. This isn't I will grow into maturity. It's we will grow into maturity. In every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. As the truth is shared by all believers, that Pauline creed, the truth unites them. Not an individualistic faith, but a shared one that draws the believers together. And in doing so, they grow together to become mature. We're not to live Christian lives alone. We are to live together in community. And as we do, then we will grow. What might that look like? Again, we've touched on it in some of those words about the future direction. Surely it looks like times of gathering where we share our lives with one another openly and honestly, where we support one another, where we are there for one another through our disappointments and joys, where we are accountable to one another in love so that we might nurture and encourage one another, forgiving one another and restoring peace, and in many other ways. Paul reminds the believers that Christ has given gifts to help the church. We're not alone. We're not powerless. Some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. What are the gifts that God has given to you? The full list isn't apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There are many other gifts, gifts of wisdom, of knowledge, of healing. Are your gifts being used? Are your gifts being used in the church? Do you know what those gifts are? And there's a whole area there that we could explore. And perhaps we should, in future weeks, look at this, about how we identify our gifts, our spiritual gifts, those God-given gifts that are given to all. And then to see how those can be developed, how they can be used for the common good. And that's not, therefore, another way of asking for volunteers. Okay, hear me well. It's a reminder that we grow together as we use the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of the church. The church, the body of Christ, is made up of different parts, each playing its own part, each part valued. We are not united by being the same, we are united by exercising our difference well. Having different gifts, different insights, different ways to build up the body. We all participate, we all add something. So what are we going to take away from this verse, from Paul's letter? Surely it is to practice always speaking the truth. Remember, the truth is important, but with love. And let us grow together. Let us grow together to become in every respect mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Let us grow together. We rightly ask of one another, how are you? And how are you in your faith? How are you growing? But the question this morning is, how are we growing in faith? Are we, the people of this Christian community, that is Altrincham Baptist Church, growing in Christ to maturity? Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that unites us. For Christ Jesus, you unite us by your saving power, by the truth that we are reminded of one faith, one baptism, one Lord. We thank you for all that unites us. And one spirit that you have given to us, that is within us. Now, Lord, if we're feeling dry this morning and feeling that we lack that spirit and that we lack your gifts, Lord, may our hands be open to receive from you. And that can happen now, simply in a prayer, to ask the Lord to come, to bless you, to fill you, to empower you, to gift you again. And Lord, we thank you for our differences. And we thank you even, Lord, for the challenges of difference that we need to work at to be a people of unity and to be in peace with one another. So help us to grow together, recognizing that we need one another, that we are interdependent. Help us truly to always speak truth in love, and to build one another up and work for unity and peace, that we might be your witness here on earth, that the love that is amongst us would be so evident that others would be drawn towards it and come to discover the hope that is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.